Now, there's a name. And joy, well, that means joy. But I thought famed warrior, Joe and Ruth will love that. That's fantastic. You know, and Jesus understood names, didn't he? Jesus understood the significance of names. And of course, we know that with Peter, he changed. I guess people would have always called him Simon Peter. But Jesus very specifically said to him, I'm calling you Peter, which meant rock. And on this rock, I'll build my church. He wanted that aspect of Peter's character to be drawn out. But the thing that amuses me the most about names that Jesus gives are the names he gives to James and John, who he nicknames Sons of Thunder. Now, what image does that conjure up in your mind? I think it sounds like a heavy metal band, myself. Iron Maiden, Metallica, Sons of Thunder. You can see it, can't you? But you can just imagine these fiery personalities, that they were loud, that you knew when they were coming, they made a noise. Sons of Thunder. And yet, you know, when you read in the Gospel of John, just the beauty of the way that's written, several years, probably 30 or more years after Jesus had died, and you read John's letters, it's really quite interesting. Just have a look at this. This is some of my favorite scripture from John. I'll come back to this. Let me do this first. Sorry, I should look at my notes. This is one of my quality moments from James and John when Jesus is about to set out and they want to go to a Samaritan village who won't welcome him there. And James and John, fiery sons of thunder, say, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? That's their response to how they're treated. Jesus rebuked them, notice. But sons of thunder, you kind of get a feel, don't you, for the kind of characters they were. But when we read on in John's gospel and John's letters, we see something quite different. Here we go. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. For whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. What a contrast. What a contrast from that previous passage of, shall we call down fire from heaven to destroy them? What a contrast. And what makes the difference? What has made the difference? Well, as we read on, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. That is what has made the transforming difference in John. The love of God within him by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. It's hard to believe that's the same person that wanted to burn everyone alive for not welcoming them when you read those words. But that is the transforming difference that the love of God, that the Holy Spirit within us can make. And, you know, as regards the Holy Spirit, there are three commands in Scripture to do with the Holy Spirit. And the first is this, be filled. It's a positive command. Be filled. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. It's a familiar passage, be filled. But it means go on being filled, go on being filled. And we do that by our worship, by that heart attitude of pouring out, as Penny was encouraging to do, stirring up our souls to cry out to God, making music in our hearts. It's not about a good tune or a good song. It's a heart attitude. It's a heart response. Lord, come, fill me, stir me. And it says, sing to one another. How often do we sing to one another? Husbands and wives, when you wake up in the morning, do you turn to one another and sing over one another? That could make a difference, couldn't it? But you know, that's what the Word of God encourages us to do. We're encouraged to sing to one another. But you know, it's so good for us to speak the Word of God, to sing His praises. Because it builds us up, doesn't it? It encourages us. It builds us up. That flow of the Holy Spirit, that living water, rises up within us. The second command in relation to the Holy Spirit is a negative command in a way. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. You know, yesterday we had the prophetic workshop here, the Spirit Cafe training. It was a fantastic time. Hands up who was here yesterday. It really was a very, very precious time. And you know, that should never be a one-off, because we are not to quench the Spirit of God. We need to be forever flowing in the Spirit of God. That doesn't have to be confined to a Sunday morning or a specific seminar that we put on, but that needs to be a regular outworking in our lives. Not quenching the Holy Spirit, but being prophetic, speaking in tongues, gifts of knowledge and wisdom. You know, that's why we focused on that at the women's conference, because we know that this place is full of a mass of wonderful gifts, and we want people to be using them and activating them, because it builds you up, it does you good, it changes you. So this really is in relation to the gifts of the Spirit. And the other command to do with the Spirit is in relation to the fruit of the Spirit, which is really what you associate with character. And it's do not grieve the Spirit. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So, church, how about this for a New Year's resolution? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building us others up. Wouldn't that be a great thing to take on? To not moan, not be negative, not be critical. I know we're British, so moaning kind of is a bit of a second nature. But what an amazing thing not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, and especially about ourselves. I'm rubbish, I can't do this, I can't do that, this is hopeless. That's unwholesome talk, and that grieves the Holy Spirit that's within us. We're very familiar with the passage in Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit, aren't we? And many of us who've walked with the Lord a long time maybe can kind of reel off love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. And I was looking at this in the Message, and I know not everyone likes the Message. But this is glorious, and I haven't put this on a slide because I just wanted to read it. It just sets the whole thing in context and really just shows the contrast between living God's way and living our own way. So have a listen to this. Close your eyes if you want to just really focus on these words. My counsel is this: live freely animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical or opposite, so that you cannot live at one time one way and at one time another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And I think there's so much within that. But the important thing I really feel here is that we're to choose to be led by the Spirit. It's a choice. It's a choice to be worked out. And it is something that needs working out in our lives, and it's the Holy Spirit at work within us that can make the difference. You know, we all have different personalities. You know, some people, I've met some people who say they're more of a glass half empty type of person. But you know, you don't have to be. Amen. We all have character traits, don't we? And we all have character traits in our families that we see passed down to us. I'm quite like my granddad on my mother's side of the family. And I actually look like my granddad in my passport photo when he was 80. So bad, it's so bad. Even the man at border control has laughed. And they don't laugh, do they? But I'm more like my granddad. He generally was quite cheery, which I try to be. But the thing I remember most about granddad, he died about 8 years ago when he was in his early 80s. Was that he never stopped singing. That's what I remember about my granddad. He loved to sing, and I must have got that from him. And I have his blue eyes as well. I'm the only one in the family with blue eyes. And it's interesting that my sister and I have noticed that my mum, I hope she's not listening, as she's getting older, my mum is becoming more and more like my grandma. mainly when she goes off on one over something. Because my grandma had a tendency to now and again go off on a major rant about something that either upset her or got to her or bothered her. And now and again, my mum can do exactly the same thing. My grandma could have quite strong opinions on things. And I remember her one day ringing me up to tell me that I had to use Colgate Total toothpaste. She actually phoned me to tell me that. I remember her ringing me once to tell me who I had to vote for on Strictly, because they were obviously the best. She was quite strongly opinionated at times. And Ben, as my boss, will tell you that I'm not strongly opinionated at all, am I? I never go off on one. I'm always calm and placid and agreeable. I don't have any of that. I can't resist this little quote from Oscar Wilde. Some of you may see. All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does. That is his. But you know, there is good news. There is good news. Because yes, in many ways, I can see character traits from my family. I can see those things within me. And I my mum always teases me. If I call her grandma, she says, yeah, but you're going to turn into me. She always teases me. But I have been adopted into the family of God. I have been grafted in to him. And everything in the character of God is within me. Everything by the Holy Spirit lives within me. If I have given my life to Christ, and if I am praying for the Holy Spirit to come and fill my life, everything within God's character is within me. But I have to make a choice. Am I going to let some of the difficult things in my character override the things of God? Now, it's not wrong to have strong opinions. And sometimes it's good that I've got strong opinions over things, and it's right that I have. But then there are also times where I'm just a downright pain and I need to shut up. Don't say anything. And it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that works these things out within us. But all of the character of God, if we're filled with His Spirit and we're encouraged to keep being filled with His Spirit, all these characteristics of God come and live within us, because His heart is to transform us into the character of Christ. And we need to know what that looks like. We need to let that be worked out in our lives. And it isn't always easy. Perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. These things sometimes need working out. And I feel that character sometimes is a bit like a muscle. It needs exercising. It needs working. And one visit to the gym doesn't do it. You've got to keep at it. You've got to keep at it. It's allowing the character of Christ to grow within us and being prepared to say to God, search me and know my heart. Lord, are there things in me? Are there things in my character that you want to change? Am I a glass half empty person? Well, I don't need to be, because I have the hope of Christ within me. So therefore, I should always be a glass half full person because of the promise that there is in him. It's good for us to work these things out. And I want to encourage us to press on and do that. But, you know, most importantly, God's not going to love me anymore when I've worked these things out. You know, God accepts me as I am and loves me as I am. But he also loves me so much that he wants me to be more in the likeness of his son. Because he knows that that's the best for me, that's the best for everyone around me, and that will allow me to fulfill his purposes more and more if I allow his spirit to be the driver in my life, in my attitudes, in my circumstances. I think in the scripture, like I say, there's so many characters in the Bible that we can look at. And King David, for me, is a great example of somebody who had, as we know, he was a man after God's heart. But he didn't always get everything right, did he? I mean, he seriously messed up big time on a number of issues. And I think if we put it in a modern day context, you know, if we had a church leader who got somebody else's wife pregnant, then got them killed to avoid it coming out, how long would they stay, do you think, in that position in our culture today? And yet God didn't withdraw his anointing from David because he'd chosen him. But he challenged David, and David came in repentance over it. But we see in David so much of the character of God. And just this passage from Galatians 5 that I read from, if you just look at some of the aspects here, affection for others, you know, you see that, don't you, in his relationship with Jonathan, exuberance about life. You know, remember when he brought the ark back from Jerusalem, how he danced with such joy, compassion, the way he treated Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Is that right? The way he treated him, and loyal commitments. Gosh, that's something we see in David, isn't it? His loyalty to Saul, even when Saul was trying to kill him, is astonishing. Ben is talking about honoring next week. And, you know, for me, in the life of David, we see so much of the way he honored those in authority over him. It's extraordinary. So I'd love to encourage all of us, men especially, look at David. Look at the character of David. Look at the things in his life and the way God works through him. And I think for women, for me, one of the best characters to look at is Ruth, who here Boaz said, all the people of my town know you are a woman of noble character. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have said about you? Everybody thinks, everybody knows you're someone of noble character. And I think if we look at Ruth, who would have been the great-grandmother of David, we see such beautiful qualities, and women, there's so much we can draw from her, I feel. So for us this year, just want to encourage you to be filled continually with the Spirit. To not quench the Holy Spirit. If things are going on, maybe you think, oh, that looks a bit weird, a few noises there, things here I'm not sure about. Talk to somebody. Ask someone. What's going on there? Sally, you should have seen her yesterday. Goodness me. She was running a mile. You know, talk to her. Ask her, what's God doing? What's that all about? You know, don't quench the Spirit of God by just thinking, oh, I don't understand, therefore I want to shut it down. Let's learn. And also, let's not grieve the Spirit with our heart attitudes, and be willing to say, search me, God. What is there in me that you want to change? What are some of the character things in me? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things. Or be brave and ask your best friend. Don't ask your boss. So, I'm going to close and pray. Ben, if there's anything else you want to bring, I'll leave you to finish, but let's just pray, shall we? Lord, I want to thank you for the inheritance that I have in you. Father, I want to thank you that when we are born again of your Spirit, you do an incredible work in our hearts. Lord, that you can transform us. Lord, that we can become someone who is known as a son of thunder, who maybe is angry and fierce and revengeful, and turn us into someone who's just overwhelmed with the love of God. Thank you that that's a work that you can do within us. And Father, I want to pray for each one of us that you would continue to do a transforming work to make us more like Jesus. Lord, that's what we want. We want to be more like you. Lord, we want to rely on all those things that you've put within us. Lord, all those fruits of the Spirit that are within us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you have done that. You, by your Spirit, have come and dwelt within us. And Lord, it's possible for us to just radiate you, but we have to make that choice. So God, for each one of us today, will you help us, God, to be willing to come to you so that we can be more like you and allow you to work within our hearts, within our lives, within our attitudes, so that we can love as you loved. We can have your compassion, your joy, your peace, all those things, God. Come and do that work within us for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrea. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?